I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network alongside Carlos Ortiz. Pete McCarthy on the updates tonight. And we've got a good one for you tonight. I am of the mind frame that you don't know how many of these you're going to get. How many four-hour blocks of time can we share together? And so I am going to cherish and do the best of my ability to give you some entertainment, some knowledge, some sports, some passion, and to make it worth your while. I'm only saying this because I have to put a bow on what's been an undercurrent of our shows this week is, and really since I've spoken on radio, I've been fearful of artificial intelligence, AI, and there's been a batch of new products this week that have emulated pretty well video that looks super real, news anchors saying things. And I know it's still a little crude, but also it's not. And also it's only going to get better. I think we're at a 5-alarm fire when it comes to artificial intelligence. And so I don't know. I think animators are screwed. I think actors may be screwed. At some point there'll be AI sports talk. So I am just going to cherish every moment that we have before the eventual overlord takeover. I feel like that's an appropriate way to start the show heading into a holiday weekend for many. And because that's where I'm at today. Every time I was doing some research or looking at something, I was reverting right back to being full on fearful of what could be to come. I did get a glimmer of hope, though, because I do think what will happen is there will be separate pockets of like that will break up little portions of society where you can come to this town, which fully uses AI, or you can like maybe live in this state. It's an AI free zone, and you know, you can, that'll be tough. We'll have to get there, but I do think that might be an outlet. So the theme of tonight's show is not no more on the AI. It scares me and I'm very fearful. But the theme of tonight's show is accepting things of which we cannot control. Accepting things of which we cannot control. And that leads me into something just as scary to me as artificial intelligence. And that is the thought of the Indiana Pacers potentially winning the 2025 NBA Finals. Now, they would have to beat the Knicks to get there and then likely have to beat the Thunder. And as good as the Thunder are, as historically good as they may be, I can definitely see any scenario in which the Pacers beat them. I think the Thunder would beat the Knicks. And I think I would probably predict the Pacers to beat the Thunder. I think the Thunder would be the favorite, but I would predict the Pacers. Now, am I jumping the gun here? Am I saying too much too soon? We've got a game going on right now. It's between the Knicks and the Pacers. It's game number 2 back in the Garden. This one does not have the vibes of the other night. The other night was Party Town USA until it was a complete collapse, choke, comeback. Something we've never seen before. The Pacers, all these stats, teams that are this at this time are 850-0. And then the Knicks let the Pacers be the one in all of these different stats. The Pacers, what I've noticed about the Pacers, and here's why I feel like just like the eventual takeover, they are maybe, and I'd have to rack my brain and really think about it, and I kind of feel like there were some Warriors teams in their real run that did a really good job of this. But they are one of the best teams that I have ever seen in any sport at any possible time to stop your momentum, to stop a run. They don't let you get big leads on them. And if they do, we've seen them trail, but it may be by design because that is where they are comfortable with. Because they'll come back. They know they can come back. There's just been so many sequences just in the third quarter alone of this game, and the Pacers, 10.5 to go. They're up 86-83. We'll kind of follow along with this one, but get into it a little bit more here. I've got 88-85 now, so 88-85. But every time the Knicks answer, like on the last couple possessions, Knicks cut it to within one. Bridges, okay, you're feeling good. You're feeling pretty good. Pacers come down the court. McConnell's hunting. Turner's wide open. Little bunny off the glass. There was a play where Josh Hart was at the receiving end of a steal, had a quick layup, got it in. A lot of potential for a nice little start of a run. Immediately, the Pacers threw it down the court, scored on the other end. And I've seen them do that against the Cavs, and I've seen them do that against the Bucks, and I've seen them do that now against the Knicks. This version of the Pacers is essentially the same team that they were a year ago. They didn't have to run into the Celtics. Last year, Celtics, great team. This version of the Pacers, they're inevitable. They're up six now. Shepherd just hit a three. They're going to a timeout. I got to tell you, every time I thought I was going to be better tonight. You know what it is? You know who it is specifically who it is? It's TJ McConnell. It's specifically TJ McConnell. I don't know if he reminds me of somebody that I once knew. I don't know if it's just because he's torched the Bucks in November games. You know, TJ McConnell will average five points a night. Then against Milwaukee, comes off the bench, scores 37. I don't know what it is. Him specifically. There is a unique makeup of his face. And, I don't want to be a guy that judges on looks. That's not what we should be. But there is a different, he's an exception. It's his face when it's a smile, and it just feels like it's a little, it just makes me so angry. So, yeah, I complain about Halliburton and Siakam and Nembhard and these, but TJ McConnell specifically cuts me in a way. But that is what they are. I do not expect the Knicks to win this game at all. If they do, I will be surprised. But I don't expect it. So I'm not trying to reverse jinx anybody. I'm not just saying this so it softens the blow. Those of you new here, I don't like the Indiana Pacers. I think you picked up on that pretty quickly. It's nothing to do about the Knicks. I just don't like the Pacers. We have all wished that one of our teams could do what the Pacers are doing. Just be in control of the game and respond at every opportunity. How many times have you watched your team in the playoffs, any playoffs, where it feels like your team is the one that this game is hard for? Your team is the one going uphill. Your team is the one struggling where the other team gets whatever they want. The Knicks have to battle and fight for every possession. Oh, there we go. We got a three. Pacers just easily down the court. Boom, three. Nullifies what you've just done. I really have never seen a team do it so well. So what I was saying the other night is, it's not that I, besides McConnell, it's not like getting mad at specific players or getting mad at who they've beaten. It's that they've figured out something that I don't know a lot of teams ever have done. They figured out how to conquer math. Because all these scenarios where you look and you say, no, that's a 99.5% chance for the other team to win. The Pacers say, okay, so basically, Lloyd Christmas, you're telling me there's a chance. And then they win. They're just very good at answering the bell. They're very good at delivering a punch after they've been punched. And so we'll see how this one plays out, but I don't expect the Knicks to win. If they do come back and win this game, I will be surprised. There's 10 minutes to go, but it's not something that I expect to see. And even if the Knicks take a lead here, we've seen what the Pacers have been able to do. So interesting one here, of course, game two. The Knicks do not want to find themselves down 2-0 going back to Indiana, where they will most certainly lose. I mean, that crowd, just like with the Cavs, they will be so charged up and so ready to go. They will most certainly lose game three, and then the series will be over. So is the series on the line? You know, you don't want to say that in game two, but is the series on the line? I think it absolutely is. I think it absolutely is. The other series in the NBA, a little bit different, because the Thunder are now going on the road. And so Minnesota, I don't think that Minnesota is 100% out of it. They have not looked good against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, this is a team coming off a great regular season. They've had initially an easy playoff round at the start against Memphis, and then were able to be tested by Denver, but that went seven. But they were able to overcome that test. We thought something about the Thunder was that they couldn't overcome those kind of tests. They were able to do that. They seemingly are having their way with Minnesota, as if there are no answers that Minnesota can come up with. I still feel like Minnesota wins at least one back home, game three tomorrow night, but they need to win more than at least one. They need to win both. I don't know that they can do that. Maybe they can. It all stems on how they respond in game three, but I think that the Thunder are the better team in that series, and I think that the Thunder are the best team remaining. And if I would have ranked it coming into the conference finals, I would have put Thunder 1 and the Timberwolves a slight 2 over these teams. So if the Thunder are having that kind of ease against the Timberwolves, what kind of ease will they have against the Knicks or the Pacers? But again, the Pacers, they're a different kind of animal that we've really ever seen in a long time. The Thunder, how they've been doing this against the Timberwolves, a lot of it has come down to the third quarters. So game one in the third quarter, they outscored Minnesota 32-18. And in that stretch, they shot 62%. Minnesota shot 31%. In game two in the third quarter, again, outscoring them 35-21, shooting 56%, and Minnesota shooting only 30. Minnesota, you know, did a little better. They lost by 11 points less. They cut down their turnovers from 19 to 14. The bench was a little more productive. They increased their points in the paint from 20 to 44, and their fast break points from 0 to 9. So there was some, I mean, a modicum of improvement. But really, what it was is the Thunder. And in these third quarters, they find a way to go on these runs. I mentioned game two. The third quarter in game two was 35-21 in favor of the Thunder. But in that third quarter specifically, there was a run towards the end of the quarter where they went on a 23-7 burst in the final 4 minutes and 48 seconds of that quarter. They, in that stretch, in the final, let's say, 5 minutes of the third quarter last night, the Thunder scored 23 points on 8 of 9 shooting. They were 3 of 3 from threes, made 4 of 5 of their free throws, 3 steals, 6 assists, and a block, no turnovers. Meanwhile, in that stretch, the Timberwolves, 7 points on 1 of 6 shooting, 0 for 2 on threes, missed a couple of free throws, did not have a single assist, only 1 rebound in that stretch, and 5 turnovers. They had a 23-7 burst in the final 5 minutes last night of the third quarter, which included their 13th 10-0 run of the 2025 playoffs, 5 more than any other conference finalist. And so I think there's some good questions to ask about, should the Thunder win this series, and should they then beat whoever comes out of the Eastern Conference? Like, historically, what kind of team are we watching? They've got the MVP. Are we ranking them? They've got 68 wins. And depending on how they do in the finals, assuming they get there, I mean, you've got some of Jordan's Bulls teams. You've got some of Bird's Celtics teams. You've got some of Steph's Warriors teams. You've got some of the Lakers, whether it was Wilt's team or Magic's team, whatever teams you want to throw in there. The Sixers back in the 80s. The Celtics back in 2008. There's been some really good teams with great net ratings and just, you know, really good offensive outputs. Even some of those Heat teams with LeBron, the Kobe Shaq Lakers. Last year, Celtics were pretty dominant historically. Where do the Thunder rank in those? And it's so hard. You know, anytime we do cross-generation rankings, it's so hard to think, how does this compare? What was the competition like? What is the game like? All that kind of stuff. But certainly, they would have to have some inclusion. I saw a really interesting comparison that this team feels kind of, in how they're made up, like some of those Spurs teams that have won. And I've always thought to myself, the Spurs teams, any iteration of them, whether it was led by the Admiral or led by Tim Duncan or whoever was the main guy at that time, I've always said that they don't get historically the praise they should because people weren't that interested in watching them play basketball. And I think a large part of that was the black and gray color scheme. I think they just looked boring and we thought they played boring because of it. Well, the Thunder, they don't look boring and I don't think they play boring, but they may be as similar to a team as those Spurs teams that we have seen. I don't know that it grabs the attention of everybody. They're just playing good basketball. You know, the Knicks have their Villanova Knicks, and they've got the city of New York behind them with Celebrity Row. You've got the Pacers that are so gritty and can answer anything and are clutch, and no deficit is too big for them. You got the Timberwolves, and they've got Anthony Edwards and some flash there, and then the Rudy Gobert trade and the trade they made with the Knicks, and there's all these. The Thunder are just a team. They have their trades of their own, and they've had good draft picks, but they're just a team that's out there playing good basketball. I mean, the headline thing about them is they're playing, well, great basketball. There's nothing really else, nothing else to it, really, other than they're just playing good basketball. I don't know if that always draws us in as much as it should. But should that series go the way that it seems like it's going, I believe the Thunder will be able to beat the Knicks if they get there. I believe they are, you know, if the Thunder are a 10, I would put the Pacers at a 7.5 or an 8. But I've just seen the Pacers do it to so many teams that I thought were much better than them that I wouldn't doubt it. There's a Nesmith 3. We saw a lot of that. I mean, they're just you can't the villain that doesn't die. It's a video game villain that doesn't die. You need a cheat code. The cheat code doesn't exist. The guy who made the video game put in this thing where it's a glitch. You can never beat it. And that's where we are with Pacers and Knicks. We'll see. We'll see how it finishes. Maybe the Knicks can come on back. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The Thunder, they have the MVP, so obviously they have an all-NBA first-teamer, but they've got another guy that popped in there as well. We'll take a look at what the first teams look like. Four unanimous guys on that first team, and then the fifth spot may be open for some discussion. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. The All-NBA team for 2024-2025 has been released, so that's it for the awards. One more award to give out, I guess. That's Finals MVP. We'll find out who gets there. Thunder on a good pace. Pacers are making some thunder of their own tonight, it seems. First team All-NBA, four guys. Unanimous. Unanimous, 100 votes. They got them all. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee Bucks. For Giannis now, this is the seventh straight time that he has made the All-NBA first team. You know who else has done that? Kobe and LeBron this century. That is it. So remember that when you're putting together your Giannis trade scenarios. You want to put a guy who just went seven straight times, All-NBA first team. You want to do a one-for-one swap with Evan Mobley? No. Come on. Also on this list, this would make sense, the MVP of the league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Also on the list, this would make sense, the runner-up for MVP, Nikola Jokic, the Denver Nuggets. Also, this would make sense, the MVP in everyone's hearts, and they would give him the award, if they could, truly, Jason Tatum. So four guys, unanimous. And then the next batch of guys, it essentially came down to Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James. Donovan Mitchell cleared by about 100 points. He had 61 first-place votes, 35 second-place votes, 4 third-place votes. That was better than Anthony Edwards, who did get 11 first-place votes, 87 second-place votes, and then 3 third-place votes. So Anthony Edwards just about 100 behind Donovan Mitchell. You can put the stats together. You can, like, if you put LeBron's stats versus Mitchell's, LeBron's might be better. If you put Edwards' stats, the complete thing, it might be better. But I have no problem with Donovan Mitchell, the Cleveland Cavaliers, for the season they had and the season he had, being an all-NBA first-teamer. You could do worse than this top five. Giannis, SGA, Jokic, Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell. Second team, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Evan Mobley. Maybe I should slow down on my Evan Mobley talk. And Jalen Brunson, who actually just edged out Cade Cunningham. So here's the number of first team votes players got. I find that interesting as well. Giannis had 100, SGA, Jokic, Tatum all 100. Mitchell was 61, LeBron was 17, Anthony Edwards 11. Cade Cunningham, who was on the third team, actually then had 6. Steph Curry had 2, Jalen Brunson had 2, Mobley had 1. So the third team is Cade Cunningham, Karl-Anthony Towns, even though he's almost unplayable in this series now against the Pacers. Talk about that. Tyrese Halliburton's on there. Jalen Williams, Oklahoma City, and then James Harden got in. All-NBA third team. Others receiving votes. Sengun from Houston, Jaren Jackson from Memphis, Zubats from the Clippers, Darius Garland, Domantas Sabonis, Pascal Siakam, Bam Adebayo, Trae Young, and Devin Booker. Interesting stat about LeBron James, by the way, is he made an all-NBA first team or second team or third team. He's made 13 first teams, he's made 4 second teams, and he's made 4 third teams. So if you add that up, that's 21 times of his 21 seasons, he's been named All-NBA. He's been alive for 40 years. So more than half his life, he has been an All-NBA roster member. At least third team. More than half his life. That is insane. And a testament to not just how good he is and has been, but I think one thing that does get overlooked in any conversation around LeBron James is he is still doing this at 41. He is still this good. I mean, he's the second team, All-NBA. And he didn't miss by that much. He really didn't. I heard a great question a while back was, how many years could LeBron James play? And at what age would he no longer be considered a top 25 player in the NBA? Because according to these rankings, technically, if you're going to use the point model, he's the seventh best player this season. By being on the second team, he's top 10. By being on it at all, he's at least top 15. We've never seen a season of LeBron James where he wasn't an all-NBA player. So at what point would the body start to give out, and would he not be on one of those teams? I don't think we get to that point. I mean, I don't know if he retires next year, the year after. I do think it's going to be a couple more years. I would give a minimum two. I'd still say probably, I think 45. Brady went to 45 playing a completely different sport, but I think that might get there. And I think what will happen too is you'll know. LeBron's just not going to talk in an interview. Hey, LeBron, you going to retire? Oh, yeah, actually I am. That was my last game. There will be a LeBron James tour. He will get gifts from every team. It will be a big deal the last time he plays in Cleveland and Miami. It most certainly, certainly will. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Matt is in Denver. What's up, Matt?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. So I know Luka wasn't eligible for this NBA list. He didn't play enough games. I was just curious, if he did reach that number, do you guys think he would have been first team, or where do you guys think he would have landed?
That's a good question. I think people would have gone Mitchell with getting Cleveland some representation. Remember, they were so dominant. But also, it's not like, oh, Cleveland needs a guy. I mean, Mitchell was... I'd put him in the MVP, like, greater conversation. Luka, yeah, it's a good question. I think maybe would fall somewhere in the second team. I would put him there. What about you?
I'm thinking that second team, probably. I know LeBron James, he's the image of keep coming back, but I don't know if he deserves second team this year. I get it, he's a legend, but I think there was better players to get that second team than LeBron this year.
Well, I think when you look at it, Matt, thanks for the call and the question. Like, let's look ahead to next year. Okay, it's going to be tougher to get on. Victor Wembanyama, if he plays the amount of games that he needs to play, he will be first team. So then you're talking about, I mean, a bit, it's very hard. You'll have Luka healthy. Tyrese Haliburton is only going to go up. Cade Cunningham is only going to go up. Anthony Edwards is going to only go up. So all this talk the last couple of weeks about who's the face of the NBA, making the first team of the all-NBA team, you got to be healthy, but it's going to be about as hard to make as ever. I mean, it is tense, man. It is insane. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Nick's trying to make something of it. I don't know. I still think it's going to be too short because the Pacers are the demons. They are demons. They are devils. Or they made a deal with one, and you got to accept it. Good for them. That was a choice they made, and now we all have to deal with the repercussions. So we'll see how that one ends. Bulletin Blitz coming up, but first, an update. Here's Pete McCarthy.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Canyon Drake, a miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
They crowned their ass, but they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. Find us on SiriusXM Channel 375, your local affiliates, or the free Odyssey app by searching Infinity Sports Network, as well as the Bart Winkler Show podcast, which I work on personally for you every single night for free. By the way, I do it for free. I wish I didn't. Bart, let's start off last night. Oklahoma City thundered a cruise.
We should update the score.
Fine. The Pacers take game two. They beat the Knicks. 2-0 series lead for Indiana. I wasn't paying attention what the score was. Bart, you got that?
114-109. We'll have plenty on this after the Blitz to kick off hour number two. Jalen Brunson, he's clutch, man, but I don't think he's heat-checked 29-foot three-point shot clutch.
He also needed some help. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns was a complete negative dud on the floor today, and what the hell is campaign playing meaningful minutes for? Tom Thibodeau, this is a really bad time for him to have tinker with the rotation, and he did not coach well tonight, so I'm sure we'll get some calls from that.
Well, they did this. They do this to their bigs. Brooke Lopez couldn't play against him. Who with the Cavs? Jared Allen struggled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now Karl Anthony Towns is struggling. Like the Pacers, they just I have to admit it. They're good. I'm sorry. I hate myself. That's unrelated, but I'm also sorry that they're good. We'll get into that.
They are. There's a different guy that can beat you every night. Tonight it was Pascal Siakam, and again, we'll get into this more. We have 3 hours left.
We're going to get into it more in a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it.
More like 10 minutes.
We will get into it. I just want people to understand that we're not going to get into it right now, but we're going to get into it pretty soon.
Momentarily, one would say. All right. Now, let's go back to last night, the other conference finals.
Before we get into tonight,
let's catch you up on
everything else that led us to tonight. And then with Knicks Pacers, we're going to get into it.
I feel like this is a Saturday Night Live skit. The Oklahoma City Thunder Day cruise to a 118-103 home win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. This series, not competitive at all. It's also 2-0 in favor of Oklahoma City. NBA MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a game-high 38 points. Jalen Williams chipped in a double-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds for him. The Thunder, they led as many as 24 points. It's just another third quarter kind of extending and going away kind of game for the Oklahoma City. Minnesota's got to figure out what's going on in the third. But let's go to the winning side. Here's SGA. He says the team's game-by-game approach has been the biggest success for the season.
All season long, we've like got into a habit and built like the muscle of just like focusing on the next game and worrying about what's in front of us. And it's no different in this situation. We're aware of where we are in the season, but we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we kind of veer from what got us here, and that's what we prioritize.
They know how much better they are than the Timberwolves. And they know that they are knocking them down. One of the things that SGA also had to say about the toll that they were putting on Minnesota was you can feel it. What happens is you feel us string together stops. That's what's made us really good. We enjoy playing defense. We find it very fun. When we score, stop, the stops get us going. We play faster. We play confident. And then we're out there running and hooping, and what he's saying is when we get into that rhythm, we not only can feel our success and our joy and our fun, but we can feel it demoralize the opponent. And Minnesota clearly being demoralized in these first two games.
Yeah, let's go to the other side of things in Minnesota. Here's head coach Chris Finch. Says this series has been one big learning lesson so far.
Every minute in the series is a chance to find something, we're going to go back home. This is a good team at home, so we're going to go home and, fight for game three. I mean, heads up and look at the tape and get ready for game three.
They need game three. If they don't have game three, I think they can win game four. I think they're going to take one of these in Minnesota, but that's not enough. If you take one in Minnesota, you're just going to lose in game five in Oklahoma City. So they've got to come out. They've got to win tomorrow. They know it's a must win. I didn't think two was necessarily a must win, but what I needed to see from them was, can you play within 5 points? Can you have a close game? They couldn't, and I don't know that they can. I feel like game three, though, I mean, we could be in for... This could be one of those games where the crowd gets into it early, Minnesota's up like 15-4, and then by the end of the first quarter, it's a tie game, and you're like, what the hell just happened? So I don't have a lot of faith in the Timberwolves at this point.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's go to the NFL. Here is Saquon Barkley with the most obnoxious statement that I've heard him speak ever since he's joined Philadelphia. This was on the Exciting Mike's podcast. I don't know who does it. I don't care. Everybody has a podcast, but this was sure to make
the rounds. I have a podcast. It's called Into the Winklerverse.
Wherever you get your podcasts. I've been trying to work on a podcast. I'm just too tired with this show. But here's Saquon Barkley. He explains why he believes the Eagles are a top five team, not just currently, but an all-time top five team.
I firmly believe when you look at our team that we had last year, I think we're a top five team of all time. And I tell my boys this all the time. Like, we started off 2-2, and we lost to Washington. Jalen got hurt that game.
Yeah.
But if you really look at the season outside of the first four games, like, it was belt.
It was dominant.
And, like, from how dominant you guys were on defense and how dominant we were on offense and special team, like, people don't realize how great of a team that actually was.
Top five team of all time. That's big. Listen,
I really think when we look back on it 10 to 15 years and we're all old, reflecting on our glory days, people don't give us enough credit.
Are we sure they're a top five team of the 2020s? I mean, they're a good team. Saquon continuing his offseason of unbridled joy and passion or whatever the hell he's been up to. They're not a top five team of all time.
No shot.
They barely got past the wild card round. They're lucky that Packers team showed up to not play that game. They play anybody else in that first round, they probably lose.
Rams should have beat them too.
Packers were ass. Total ass that game. And there was a kickoff right away that wasn't, they got some ref help. Top five team of all time for beating a fatigued Chiefs team. Man, these Eagles, I rooted for them in the Super Bowl. But the way that they're wet dreaming around these office owner meetings about this tush push, and now they're smelling their own and they're thinking three-peat, I get it. I get it, Carlos. This is why I would encourage possibly my kid, and he's down. I mean, we were ranking MLB helmets today by their standings. I bought those too. So, you know, he's into sports. It's great. But I need to warn him, like, there's going to be a point in your life where it's not about the teams you like anymore. It's more about the teams you hate. You don't want to see your teams win as much as you find reasons to hate other teams, and you'd rather see them lose. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, you just made the list.
There has been no team that I've hated more in the past 5 years than the Philadelphia Eagles. Everyone up in arms about Kansas City, Mahomes, Kelsey, Taylor Swift, the refs. No. That was nothing to how obnoxiously arrogant these beep, 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 freaking beep, 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 guys from Philadelphia really are. I cannot wait till everyone else wakes up and knows what I've been knowing for the last 5 years. These beeps in Philadelphia are the beep worst. That's how you circumvent the FCC. Let's go to some MLB quotes here. Here is Pittsburgh's Pirates general manager, Ben Sherrington. I mean, I guess he has to say it now, but I don't believe him. He says he will not consider trading Paul Skeens.
There's been some chatter. People have suggested that maybe you guys should consider trading Paul. Would you guys consider dealing Paul Skeens this season?
No, it's not. It's not at all part of the conversation.
Okay, well, Paul Skeens is definitely going to get traded, but it is not going to be this year. He's under team control for like
a handful more seasons. And what are they going to do? Get younger guys that they're just going to eventually flip anyway? No, I don't see that happening. Paul Skeens pitched tonight, 6 innings. Allowed 4 hits, 8 Ks, 1 earned run. That was against Milwaukee. He does not factor into the decision, but Milwaukee gets... Well, no, they lost. And now I got to cut Abner Uribe from my fantasy team because he blew up. 6-5, the Pirates win to improve to 18-34.
And let's give a score that other people might actually care about. We have a final in the Western Conference of the NHL. Edmonton evens up the series by a score of 3-0. They shut out the Dallas Stars. So now we will get to a game 3 where it is now a best of 5 in the Edmonton Oilers-Dallas Stars series. Last one here. Speaking of hockey, I know how much you love your hockey. Panthers shut out the Hurricanes in game 2. They lead the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0. All of these series outside of Edmonton and Dallas are just 2-0 holes. Not very compelling. Sam Bennett, he recorded a pair of goals to go along with an assist. They have took total control. They look like they'll be going back to repeat and represent the East in the Stanley Cup Championship Finals, whatever you want to call it. But Sam Bennett says the series is far from over.
It feels good. I mean, that was our goal right from the beginning, and we got what we wanted, but still obviously lots of work to do. And we're not gonna relax or sit back now. We know it's gonna get more difficult for sure.
You did it to me again. I have much to say on that.
That back time bet just comes up.
And I totally, for $100, could tell you who the person you even just played was.
He's a forward.
I mean, when you played that, I didn't even listen. Knicks Pacers reaction next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.